You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Okay, so let's take a look at how the JSE performed today, Monday. The market finishing down 0.9%. A lot of that was driven by what happened in the industrials complex. It finished down 1%. Funny enough, for the week, the industrials complex actually registered gains. Financials extended losses that we did see last week, with that index ending over 2% lower, today 0.5% lower. Resources stocks, now these were the shining lights on the market last week, with the index registering a pop of 8%. Today, giving back some of those gains, just 1.2% lower, the Rand 19 Rand to the US dollar. We've got Gary Boyson, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, for more. Gary, just a comment, a quick one, just on general market sentiment. So we have come into the week slightly lower. It's interesting to see the continuation of selling amongst financial insurance or some insurance stocks, and also just the give back of some stocks in the mining and resources complex. What do you make of how the market has opened this week?
Well, I think we've got a little bit of a jittery situation in China around the debt and especially Evergrande and the real estate market there. And, you know, we've come into the week with the Hang Seng down 1.39%, and that kind of pessimism fed through into our market. I think there's real concerns around what China is going to be able to do going forward. At the same time, we've had rising oil prices. The expectation is that that's obviously going to feed into inflation, and potentially we're not going to see interest rates coming down as quickly as potentially they could. And of course, as you've already mentioned, there's a stack of central banks reporting this week: US, Japan, Switzerland, Britain, and of course our very own South African Reserve Bank as well. So there's a lot of economic data that we're going to see this month, and maybe markets just taking a deep breath and preparing themselves for what is about to come, because you do get a sense that volatility is going to pick up this week. There's a lot of data. There's a lot we're going to have to digest. And that's sending the overall market down. As you said, resource index and industrial index both down over 1%, dragging the top 40 down more than 1%, and really the financials down the least, just over 0.5%. So a difficult market to swallow today. Not too much movement in the currency. So we're still sitting in dollar terms at around 19 flat. Currently, not too much movement in the gold price either, although we have seen the dollar index falling back slightly after elevating last week. So back down to around 105, which obviously measures it against a basket of its six big trading peers. But the one ray of light that I do have for listeners is that we have the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ up about 0.25% each. So hopefully we see a little bit of follow through in the US markets and things turning around tomorrow.
Okay, so until then, let's just talk about some individual company news. The listeners were listening, of course, to the top story on the bulletin on SAFM, just reflecting the immediate resignation of the CEO. Mr. Bob van Dijk has been CEO at the Naspers Group since 2014, so a good decade, CEO of Process specifically since 2019. In fact, the regular commentator Makwe Masilela making an announcement or making a comment that Bob wasn't enjoying the rugby yesterday, because he would have known, Makwe assumes that Bob would have known that this announcement would be coming today. Just your take on it and what this ultimately means for the entire stable.
It's an interesting way to announce it. And the speculation this morning was what happened? Something has happened. Yeah. And you do get a sense that something behind the scenes has happened. Although I was on the investor call at 11 o'clock this morning, where obviously the management team answered questions, and the official line from the company was very much that, you know, most big tech companies' CEOs last 5 to 7 years. Obviously, Bob van Dijk has been there for around a decade, and it was time for him to step down, and that it was a considered decision, and it wasn't really a surprise. There weren't a lot of reasons given, but it's just the way that you announce that, almost with no telegraphing to the market, to just say, oh, by the way, by immediate effect, our CFO is taking over from our CEO. The last question on the call was actually, does the new acting CEO, Ervin Tu, who's the former CEO, are there any restrictions on his ability to lead? And the kind of comment was around, a ship can only have a captain, and a captain can't make half the decisions. Of course, he's got the full powers of the CEO and the full support of the board. But it just goes to show that there was almost this, it wasn't expected by the market. But really, from a share price point of view, the market took it in its stride. Obviously, some of the sell side have been quite critical of the way that Bob van Dijk has managed the group, specifically around the investments that they've made over the last 10 years, and really saying that there hasn't been a huge amount of value generated by the management team, short of just spending the money that they're getting from Tencent. And if that was true, you would have expected the market to potentially pop on the news. Of course, Ervin Tu, the new CFO that's taken over, he's been very involved in the company for a long time. Another thing that came out from the investor course, this weird kind of dynamic around, that he was involved in the decision making, but he couldn't take credit for all of it, because that would be very unfair, because he wasn't actually responsible for it. It was kind of this weird comment that came out. But yeah, obviously very, very entrenched in the management team, has been with Naspers and Prosus for a long time, and I think understands the strategy very, very well. So Not a huge reaction in the share price. Share price was down on the day, but that was in line with the selling that we saw in Tencent this morning as well. So not the market not reacting specifically to the announcement of the management change.
Sure. I mean, I was having a conversation with someone earlier about, when you have left a company in your career, and usually when you decide to quit right there and then on the spot, there's always a back story, because most people serve out their notices. I mean, particularly a CEO, you'd want to ensure that there's that smooth handover. Well, he's going to remain a consultant, and I don't know exactly what that means. But the question I want to ask you is, what do you reckon Bob's legacy was? Because I think that from interactions and conversations with him, he was always looking for the next biggest thing outside of Tencent, and probably were really big shoes for him to fill. I mean, just given the fact that Koos Bekker had found the crown jewel of the Naspers stable, and it was like pressure on Bob to say, what is next? I'm doubtful as to whether he did find the next big thing after Tencent, just given the fact that we just continue to talk about where the value in the Naspers stable lies, it being still with Tencent. But what do you reckon his legacy has been?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very difficult act to follow. Possibly the single greatest investment in history, just about, is what it's been called. So yeah, big shoes to fill is an understatement. And while I said the sell side, it has been very, very critical of the way that he's managed the business over the last 10 years. Many of the initial businesses that you're talking about, food delivery, etc., are starting to show scale, and a lot of these things will take a lot of time to fully mature. And I think it's almost too early to tell what it's going to look like. It does seem like there's going to be a slight strategic shift, but it is to an extent more of the same as well. So I don't think you're going to see a sudden exit of a lot of the deals that he did. I mean, obviously, in terms of the changes within the group, I mean, we've all kind of been through it. It's one of the biggest shares on our exchange, certainly, or was. And I mean, the he was the instrumental in the unbundling of MultiChoice, for example, but really it was the idea that they needed to shrink the discount between Tencent and the Naspers process holding. It was the creation of a very, very complex holding structure, and obviously the listing of process and the international assets in Amsterdam, and then as the final step in the plan is the then unwinding of that cross-holding structure, which finished today, and once again the simplification of that structure. So a lot of a lot of attempts to unwind the discount, at this stage not entirely successful, because the discount still remains, but the company is now free to continue buying its own shares and doing the financial engineering that so many people had hoped for in the earlier part of this decade at the helm. And hopefully we do see an unwind and at least a narrowing of that gap, and hopefully we do see some more value being returned to shareholders.
Okay. Talking about value being returned to shareholders, Mondi and AngloGold Ashanti making two announcements today, both announcements around divesting stakes in certain businesses. In the case of Mondi, talking about the last exposure to the Russian business. In the case of AngloGold Ashanti, a venture that seems didn't go to their liking, and it looks like the gold miner just cutting their losses, as it were, out of the Colombia venture this time around, but both talking about using those proceeds to return value to shareholders. Just what do you make of that, and is there any excitement about what could be forthcoming?
Yeah, certainly Mondi shareholders were excited about the prospect of receiving roughly, you know, $15.7 billion for their Russian assets. Remember, these assets had been flagged to sell off, and Mondi pulled out of the deal. They've now obviously got a new buyer, and that's a significant stake. I mean, Mondi's market cap is just over $150 billion. You know, $15 billion, you're talking about 10% of the group's market cap. That business, though, accounts for about a fifth of its revenue as well, so it's significant. But yeah, I think with the sanctions that we're seeing against Russia, and obviously it being a pariah in the international community, I think shareholders should be very grateful that they're getting $15.7 billion.
Sure.
Out of that business, as that cash is going to be paid in monthly installments starting at the end of September. So it's not quite a done deal yet, but the essentially the business that they're selling, which is, I cannot say it, it's Mondi Saikatagafakar.
I can't pronounce that. I'm even worse.
It's an integrated pulp packaging paper and uncoated fine paper mill. So it employs about 4,500 people just northeast of Moscow. And I think Mondi shareholders, certainly South African shareholders, will probably be very grateful to see that those funds being repatriated. And essentially, as Mondi said, it will be distributed to the shareholders. So you can expect some sort of special dividend. They're not looking around to go and quickly invest those funds. So I think definitely a good deal for Mondi. It was up more significantly than where it closed, but it did close up 2.63% in a down day. So you can see the market definitely liking the announcement. In terms of AngloGold, the 50% sale of its Colombian project, also just, I think, another management team, you're almost being responsible in a difficult environment. Looking at their feasibility study, the Gramalote mine has around 2.6 million ounces of reserves. But following a feasibility study, realizing that they can't develop this efficiently, it's part of their strategy to really focus on more productive assets and try and extract a little bit more value for shareholders, protect their margins. So sold it off for around R1 billion. To a Canadian outfit, Canadian B2 Gold Corporation, and it's not a total exit from Colombia. I mean, they've got other copper and gold projects there that will be developed, but just a focus on quality rather than mining everything at all costs.
Right.
And I think that's necessary. That's a good thing for AngloGold shareholders.
All right, I see that your Spanish is a lot better than your Russian. Well done.
Thanks.
Gary, thanks so much. We'll leave it there. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager over at Rand Swiss.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.